Good morning. This is Sydney Craig-Hart, the Smart Simple Marketing Coach. Today is Tuesday, October 26, 2010, and I am thrilled and excited to have you with me on the line today. As you know, this is one of the calls of our monthly training call series where I invite a guest expert on a specific marketing topic to come and spill their secrets about a particular subject so that you and I can learn these strategies and implement them in our own business. So I'm glad that you've taken me up on the offer this month and looking forward to sharing some really great information with you. If just some housekeeping things, if you've just joined us again, this is Sydney Craig-Hart of SmartSimpleMarketing.com, and I've muted the line, so no worries there. But we will have a presentation today and then hopefully have a few minutes for Q&A. So if you have questions as the presentation proceeds, feel free to write those down and note them so that we can address them later in the call. Our topic today is how to create your compelling brand and communicate your value with ease to attract more of your ideal clients. And I'm so excited to have my friend Liz Dennery Sanders on the line. She and I met a few years ago at a marketing conference and immediately hit it off. It was so much fun. We had a great 3 days together, and we've kept in touch ever since, and her business has grown and my business has grown, and so I'm really excited to have her with us, and I'd like to welcome you, Liz.
Thanks so much, Sydney. I'm so thrilled to be here.
You're welcome. Let me just share with you a little bit of background about Liz and who she is. She is really one of the most dynamic brand strategists / marketing coaches that I've ever met, and that's coming from someone who's in the industry. So I've always been very impressed with Liz and her approach to business, and she also has a special niche in that she's a celebrity outreach consultant. She can actually help individuals get their products into the hands of celebrities, which I think is really fun. She's the founder of Dennery Marks Incorporated, which is a nationally acclaimed creative brand strategy and celebrity marketing firm. And she has been working with fashion, lifestyle, and celebrity clients for well over a decade. And because of her passion for empowering other female entrepreneurs to embrace their success and create a powerful brand of their own, she launched She Brand in 2009. So through that company, she helps fellow female entrepreneurs to create a brand that resonates with their target audience, to develop a compelling message, which is what we're going to talk about today, and really position themselves as an authority in their industry. She's a member of the International Coaching Federation, the International Association of Women in Business Consulting, and the Vogue 100, which is a hand-selected group by Vogue magazine of 100 influential decision-makers and opinion leaders across the country who are known for their distinctive taste in style, design, and culture. So it's really an awesome privilege to have Liz with us today, and I'm really looking forward to her sharing all of her expertise about branding. So why don't we just go ahead and get started, Liz, because I have so many questions I want to ask.
Sounds great.
So the first thing I want to talk about is I would really love for you to explain what is a brand, because I know in the conversations I've had with folks in my network and prospective clients and just a lot of individuals that a lot of people just think your brand is your logo, and you and I both know that that's not the case. So to make sure that we're on the same page, can you explain what your brand actually is and why we even need to be concerned about that as business owners?
Absolutely, because I do think there is a lot of confusion about what is a brand, what is a personal brand, and you really hit the nail on the head, Sydney, with the fact that a personal brand is not your logo. I know we've both seen so many entrepreneurs go out and spend a lot of money with a graphic designer and create a very fancy logo and put it on their business card or up on their website, and they think, great, now I have a personal brand. And that is not it at all. A logo is a part of a brand. It is the visual branding component or one of them, but it is not your personal brand. Another confusing point that I see people make is thinking that a personal brand is what you do for a living. So if you are a coach or a real estate agent or an acupuncturist, that is your personal brand. And again, that is not. That is a piece. That is a part of who you are and your personal brand, but it is not it in its entirety. Mm-hmm. So I think that there are three things that make up a personal brand that are really important points. Number one, it's the mental picture that people get of you when they think about you. So it's the public image that represents your values, your personality, your area of expertise, so what you do for a living, and the qualities that make you unique. So that's the first piece, the mental picture, the image that people get when they think of you.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is the emotional connection that people make to you. It's how others feel about us. So our personal identity stimulates a meaningful emotional response in another person. So I'm sure you've heard the saying, people won't remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Exactly.
Right? So that's the second key component to a personal brand, the emotions that come up for people when they think about you or when they interact with you. And then the third piece of a personal brand is your promise of value. It's the promise of what people can expect when they deal with you. So I think a great example of this is Apple. So Apple has very, very loyal customers, and they wait for every new product to come out on the market. There's always a waiting list. And yet their clients expect a certain set of qualities. I think Apple stands for beautiful design, intuitive functionality, and innovative features. That's their brand promise, and as long as they continue to deliver on that promise, then their brand will remain strong. So the third piece is your promise of value, what it is that your clients can expect from you, what they get from you, what they see as your value.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, and I really love that you gave that example of Apple, because that's something we can all relate to. You know, people, as you mentioned, who are Apple users are very loyal, and I've yet to meet someone who switched from PC to Mac and then went back. So it really speaks to the effectiveness and the quality not only of their product but also of their brand. They've created a brand that is very compelling, and that's very engaging and attractive to their ideal target market and their ideal client, which I know we're going to talk about today. So thank you so much for that explanation. So in terms of thinking about the types of professionals who we're speaking to today as part of this audience, these are individuals who are service professionals who may be involved in interior design or a graphic designer or a virtual assistant. Obviously, industries that have a lot of really high quality, you know, professionals that serve them. So the folks who are making the decision to whether or not to work with one of these professionals, they have a lot of information to process and to go through in terms of making a decision in who they're going to work with. So in terms of branding, how would you recommend that folks who are perhaps new to the branding process or really trying to make this a part of their marketing strategy, how do they stand out when a lot of them are in very crowded marketplaces?
You know, I think the most important thing, first and foremost, is you really have to get very clear about who you are, what you stand for, how you're helping other people in the marketplace, and truthfully, who your target market is. You know, who do you want to work with? Who is your ideal client? You really don't want to work with everyone, nor could you, know, with the millions and millions of people out there. And I think that's a really important thing to remember, that you're not trying to reach everyone. You just want to reach a very specific niche, the people that you most love to work with, the people that you know will benefit most from your services and your value. You know, I think you make a good point, Sydney, that we're just so inundated and overwhelmed with so much information. I mean, people are just drowning in information. And, you know, so many of my clients, too, will say, well, how do I stand out? And I think that the people who will be the most successful moving forward in our culture today are the simplifiers, the filterers, the synthesizers, the people that really drill it down to exactly who they are, what their value is, and how they can help their ideal clients, how they can lessen their pain, take away their most pressing challenges. And I think that will create tremendous clarity for both them and their potential clients.
That's true, and I really want, and this is why I love having these conversations with you, Liz, because you and I are so on the same page.
Yes.
I really want you to recognize what she said, and that even if every single person on the planet who could use your service came knocking at your door, you don't have the bandwidth to serve them. So thinking that everyone needs what I offer and everyone could benefit from it is not the way to approach your branding or your marketing. You really want to hone in on the relatively narrow and few folks who could really benefit from working with you, who will appreciate the value you offer and become raving fans of yours. So I think that's the first part of creating your brand is wrapping your head around that and being okay with that. And I know for a lot of folks that's a struggle.
Yes, and I think another thing too, Sydney, and you and I have talked about this pretty extensively, is that there sometimes is a bit of a scarcity mentality out there that there's not enough business for everyone. And the truth is we really live in an abundant time, and there is business when you get really clear about what it is that you offer and you know who your ideal client is, those people are going to resonate with you.
Exactly.
So there is plenty of business. You just have to gain some clarity first. And, yes, that is the first step to your brand.
Right, and I won't get on my soapbox about that, but it's very easy to be overly influenced by the media and the doom and gloom and the economy this and the economy that. And obviously the economy has changed, but that doesn't mean that there's not opportunity there. And if you find yourself struggling to attract clients consistently to your business, et cetera, this is a great place to start with your brand and looking at how you're conveying the value of what you do and who you're targeting and what those individuals need, et cetera. So if you are a person listening who has been affected by that, I can certainly understand why that would dampen, you know, your zeal around what's possible for your business. But I really want to encourage you to shut off that noise and focus your efforts and your attention, rather, on making sure that you are conveying the value of what you provide as a service, as well as really looking for ways to connect with the individuals who are already looking for that.
Absolutely.
So my next question for you, Liz, then, is once you have, you know, really gotten comfortable with this idea that, you know, okay, I can't really serve everyone and I really do need to narrow my focus and my marketing efforts, how does an individual go about identifying their personal, their brand? And I know you and I talk about all of the terminology, so their brand attributes. And if you could explain what that means, that would be great.
Absolutely. And an attribute is nothing more than a quality or a characteristic. So it could be something as simple as authentic, or it could be inspirational. It could be something like zen or composed. It could be intelligent. So it's basically adjectives. It's qualities that describe who you are. And so the way that we really go about it is to first ask yourself, what are the three most important qualities I would like to be known for? So we do a brand attribute assessment, which has probably about 150 different qualities and characteristics on it, and I have clients go through it and say, you know, don't take more than 5 or 10 minutes, but go through this list and just circle 5 to 10 that really resonate with you. And then we drill it down to, if you could only select 3 to be known for, what would they be? So that's really the first step, is figuring out how you think about yourself, and then turn it around and start asking those around you. So friends, family, coworkers, peers, go to at least 20 or 30 people and ask them. And you can do this anonymously. And Sydney, you know, you've probably done this too, using a resource like SurveyMonkey, where you can actually set up a survey online at no charge, and you can then email friends or family or peers and ask them to identify those qualities that most represent you, and they can do it anonymously. And I find that that's actually really effective, so they don't feel like you're going to be upset if they choose one that you don't like. I
mm-hmm.
think you really do get the cleanest results that way. And, you know, it's really interesting to do this with clients, because oftentimes they will come up with 3 or 4 adjectives, attributes that they feel very strongly about, and then they'll go and they'll ask 25 or 30 people to fill out the same assessment. And it's really interesting what comes back. Sometimes it is pleasantly surprising, and sometimes not so much.
Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, there's sometimes I know that that we, being the business owner, because we're so close to what our work and what we do, we have a hard time even seeing what our brand attributes are, really looking objectively at of the real value that we offer to our clients. And so if you're at all stuck on that, then by all means you would want to take Liz's suggestion and just go ask them. Even if you've just, if you're starting out, you could ask, you know, past colleagues and maybe your past employer, or ask really close family members and friends, you know, what do they see as being, you know, your strongest qualities. But, you know, of course, the best place would be to go to past clients and customers who have worked with you, because they'll tell you in language that other prospective clients use exactly what it is that you bring to the table, and that will make it easier for you to convey that going forward.
Absolutely. And another thing that's really interesting is I've had clients, and I'm sure you have too, Sydney, where there is a particular attribute that they really want to embody. For example, I've had a couple of clients in the last few months that both really resonate with the word sophisticated, and they really want to incorporate that much more into their brand essence. And it wasn't a word that past clients or peers or friends actually used for them, and they were disappointed. And so they said, you know, is that really something that I can use for my personal brand if others don't perceive me that way? And the answer is, the fact is that others don't perceive you that way today. However, if being perceived as sophisticated is very important to you and you want your brand to be sophisticated, then you absolutely can start incorporating that in how you go about doing business, in how you go about treating others, in how you go about living your everyday life, so that 6 months from now or a year from now or 3 years from now, your business and you are perceived as sophisticated. It is possible.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I'm glad you brought that point up, because if there is any kind of gap between your current perception and what you think your business is being perceived as, or where you want to be, you won't know that if you don't ask. So it's really good just to get kind of a gauge as to where you are. So if there are changes or improvements or tweaks that you want to make, you're really clear about where you're starting from.
Yes.
So I know, Liz, when you do your branding work, you you talk about developing a brand filter. What do you mean by that, and how is that beneficial to our listeners today?
Sure. Well, it's actually a phrase that I coined a couple of years ago, just naturally in speaking with a client, and she kept saying, "Well, I'm having a hard time making some decisions about my collateral materials and what my press kit needs to look like." And I said to her, "Well, you need to filter it through your brand attributes." And then I said, "That's a brand filter." And of course, she looked at me a little cross-eyed, and I basically said, "What?"
She didn't realize what a profound moment that was.
Exactly. And of course, that's usually how those profound moments come about, isn't it? In the simplest
mm-hmm.
ways. But it was very profound for me. Maybe not quite as much for her at the time. But what I realized was how powerful these brand attributes are and how helpful they can be to us in terms of making decisions about our business. And truthfully, not just our business, but our life in general. So your brand filter basically consists of your top two or three brand attributes, your top two or three qualities or adjectives, the way that you would describe yourself or others would describe you, and how you gauge everything you do when it comes to your personal brand. So, for example, if your top brand attributes are composed, zen, and inspiring, for example, then if you're planning an event for your clients, you're probably not going to throw a 70s disco party,
mm-hmm.
or you're probably not going to rent out a huge hall and have a Maharaji band playing. You know, what you might do is lead a meditation retreat and invite an inspirational speaker as your guest. So basically, every decision you make regarding your brand and your business is run through this brand filter. You would constantly ask yourself, is this composed, zen, and inspiring? Does this make me feel composed, zen, and inspiring? And if the answer is yes, then you move forward. If it's not, then you find something else that is a better fit. You know, if I do this, will I be perceived as composed, zen, and inspiring? So, for example, if you're working on your logo, does this logo make me feel X, Y, and Z? Would people perceive this logo as X, Y, and Z? If you're deciding, if you're asked to speak, for example, at a women's conference, if I go and speak as a panelist at this women's conference, will I be perceived as X, Y, and Z? So you use your brand filter in the decision-making process about your brand.
I really, really like that because it's so important to think about this kind of point of reference when you're making decisions. And I know that's where a lot of business owners struggle is, you know, do I do this or do I not do this? Do I pursue this marketing strategy or do I not pursue this? Do I join this networking group or do I not? And sometimes when you're making those decisions, we're not always thinking in terms of how it's going to affect how we're perceived or how it's going to affect, you know, the prospects that we can connect with, et cetera. So I really love this because you can use this as a baseline. You know, once you've identified your brand attributes, any decision you make in your business, from, you know, the type of work you do with your clients to how you structure your packages to what type of marketing materials you create, et cetera, it all supports your overarching brand, which over time is solidified in the minds of the individuals in the marketplace and really helps you to stand out from your colleagues. So this is really, really important, but it's so simple at the same time that clarity gives you a really great place to use as a jumping off point when you're making any decision in your business.
Well, it's so true, and as we were just saying, you know, some of the most helpful, profound things tend to be actually very commonsensical and very simple in practice. And I do think that this is a crucial piece of your brand foundation. And you know, Sydney, I know you and I have talked ad nauseum about it, but you really have to have that brand foundation in place before you can go about really doing any marketing. Before you can create your marketing strategy and your marketing plan, you really have to get this branding piece in place.
And that's so true. I agree with you 100% because otherwise you'll find yourself spinning your wheels and pursuing strategies that don't really fit the business, your services, your message, or most importantly, your target market. So this is a place that's not to be ignored, or a factor of your marketing, rather, that's not to be ignored. So if you're listening with us today and recognizing that you need some improvement in this regard, I want you to actually be really glad that you joined this call today and to not feel bad about that, because this is a place where you can start today saying, okay, I'm just going to do things differently. I'm really going to hone in on what my brand attributes are. I'm going to hone in on what I want to be known for. I'm going to ask my clients and past customers, et cetera, what it is they enjoyed as a result of working with me or what benefits they got. And I'm going to start recrafting my brand and making sure that my marketing supports that. So I know that individuals who have come to me have sometimes struggled with certain marketing strategies in the past and been very discouraged because it didn't generate the ROI that they were looking for. And a lot of times this is the reason why, because it just didn't quite fit with who they were or the message that they wanted to convey. So I really appreciate your explanation in that regard.
Absolutely.
So when you are clear on your brand and then you recognize what marketing strategies will support that, the next step I understand and that I teach is that you really need to look for ways to connect with your ideal client. But before you can connect with that ideal client, you need to know who they are. So in your opinion, Liz, why is it important to really identify your ideal client, and then how do you go about it?
Well, I think that the simplest answer, Sydney, and you'll probably chuckle at this, but you know, the simplest answer to identifying your ideal client is that so you'll know who to market to. And I know that it does sound so simple, but the truth is, as you were just saying, that if you don't know who you're marketing to and you're just sort of marketing to everyone, my guess is that your return is going to be slim at best or sporadic at best. And so you really do have to know who you're marketing to before you can put together your marketing strategy. I use the example of, you know, shooting a machine gun where, you know, bullets just go everywhere, mm-hmm. versus having a very precise bow and arrow and being really good at pulling that bow and arrow and hitting the center of the target each and every time. So the better you get at speaking to a very specific target client, the more you understand them, the more you listen to them, the more you know what they're struggling with, then the more likely you are to attract them to you. So when you're really clear about who your ideal clients are, they will actually have a much easier time finding you amidst all of the clutter and the noise that's out there in the marketplace today.
Right. Now, before we talk about how we actually identify our ideal client, I would love for your opinion on how you would answer a person who says, you know, well, there are really a lot of people who can benefit from my service, and I don't really understand why I have to be so narrow in my focus. What do you say when you hear that? Because I know you probably had clients say that to you too, just like I have.
All the time. Absolutely.
We just find that people are really resistant to this idea. So I'd love to hear your explanation as to why it's so important.
Well, the first thing that I really like to do, because I do like to learn from my clients, as I know you do too, is
mm-hmm.
The first thing I say is, well, so share with me how that's working for you so far.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I have yet, and I would love for someone to prove us wrong, Sydney, but I have yet for someone who is struggling with this to come back and say, well, I'm attracting millions and millions of clients. Or even I'm attracting 10 clients a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the issue is it's not that you can't work with a lot of people. Because obviously when we're really passionate about the work we do and we really want to help people, obviously we would like to work with as many people as possible and really make a difference in this world. And I really understand that. And I know you understand that too, Sydney. But the issue is, you're not going to market to everyone. Just because you are marketing to a smaller segment of the marketplace does not necessarily mean that you can't work with people outside of that segment, nor does it mean that people outside of that segment aren't going to come to you seeking your services. Really, the whole important piece of getting clear about your target market is so that you can develop a very effective core marketing strategy, and then you will attract not only your ideal clients, but you probably will attract more people outside of that circle, and then you get to make the decision on whether you want to work with them or not. Or maybe you collaborate and partner with a few other people in your industry who are better suited for that particular type of client, and then you make referrals, and that person makes referrals to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I usually start with, and I hope that answers your question. But for really, I first try to find out, okay, so how's it working so far? And then secondly, talking about the reason why you want to get more narrow, you want to get more niched, you want to have a painted picture of that ideal client in your mind. In fact, you probably do this too with your client, Sydney, but I have clients literally create a real person.
I do the same thing.
Okay. So it's really powerful, right?
It's so powerful. It makes your marketing so much easier.
It does. You can put it on your vision board. You can put it on your computer monitor. You can have it up on a bulletin board in your office. You know, rip out pages in magazines, pictures of people that might look like your target market, and then, you know, type out a description of, you know, their age, how much money they're making, where they work, what are their desires in life, what are their problems and their challenges. And I know, Sydney, you're going to give everybody on the call the target market assessment, and that covers a lot of this. But it really, you will just be astounded at the clearer that you get about who this person is, you start resonating at a different level. And they are much more capable of finding you when you're resonating at that level of clarity.
That's so true. And what I love about this exercise is, even though it's hard sometimes for folks who haven't done it before to wrap their head around it, once you are really clear on who this person is, the way you market is so different, because now you really just feel like you're speaking to a person. You're not trying to just say, like, the perfect 30-second elevator speech and use snazzy, you know, marketing jargon, but you're just talking to a person who you know needs your help, and that puts you and the person you're speaking to, even if it's like an online marketing thing or whether you're out networking or whatever it is, it puts you in such a different mindset, and it makes you so much more engaging because you're not focused on marketing to the person. You really are just wanting to get to know them and help them, and it's so much easier to do that when you have so clearly in mind who this individual is.
Right.
And as Liz mentioned, she was gracious enough to give us a copy of her ideal client profile assessment, which you can complete and fill out, and so you'll have that clarity. It's a really nice bonus gift that she shared. You've already been sent a link to that, but I'll provide another link to it after we send the recording to the call. So thank you so much for doing that, Liz.
My pleasure.
Now, once you've gotten clear on who this individual is, what are your suggestions for how you can best communicate with those folks and your target market so that you can engage those individuals and hopefully convert them into paying clients?
I think probably the number one, actually there are two very important pieces. For me, the number one most important thing is being able to focus on your value, the benefits that someone will get from working with you, the results that people will achieve by working with you, as opposed to features. And I know, Sydney, that you know the WIFM acronym, and I'm sure that you've used it with your clients, but WIFM stands for What's in it for me? And that is what your potential clients want to know. They don't care about how fabulous you are. They don't care how many clients you've worked with in the past year. They want to know how you are going to help them, the results that they're going to get. Again, it sort of ties back to that emotional component in the personal branding piece in terms of how you make your potential clients feel. And so with the WIFM acronym, it's a bit of the same thing. What's in it for me? How am I going to feel working with this person? What kind of results am I going to be able to accomplish? I think the other piece that's really important in terms of communicating with your potential clients is I find, and I'm interested, Sydney, if you find the same thing, I find a lot of my clients hate the word selling.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
want
to feel like they're having to sell themselves, you know, and there's so much out there in personal development and growth material about sales and pitching and unique selling proposition and all that marketing jargon. And the bottom line is I like to sort of flip selling on its ear and instead talk about educating.
Mm-hmm.
That you're educating your potential clients. Because if you feel like you're in a position where you're selling them, nobody's going to feel good about the interaction. You're not going to feel good. And I can guarantee you that your potential client is not going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask questions, you know, and I don't remember who it was that said this, but 80% of the time when you're talking with your potential clients, your mouth shouldn't be moving. That you want to ask some really compelling questions to find out more about them. People want to be understood. They want to know that you care. They want to feel connected to you. And so if you are asking good questions, open-ended questions to find out what their issues are, what's keeping them awake at night, and you're really, really listening, then you're connecting to them. And then you can turn around and educate them a little bit about what it is that you're doing, how you're doing it, the value that you've provided for your clients, and the results that they'll be able to achieve if they choose to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to get inside their head. You want to be in their shoes and really understand what they're experiencing. I think that that's one of the most important things.
I totally agree with you, and especially because as you and I are and the rest of our listeners are today, we're service providers. So our whole business is about being of support and assisting others in solving their challenges. And a lot of people, unfortunately, today don't have someone that really listens to them, and especially if they're facing a challenge in their business or in their personal life, and they really are looking for a solution to that challenge, they really just want to be heard. And this isn't some, like, you know, skeezy, like, marketing strategy, but if you know the solution to a problem, look at the individuals that you're marketing to as potential friends, you know, folks who that you would love to get to know and who may be struggling with something that you're really great at and take for granted. Of course, if it was a friend, you would want to listen to them and be supportive of them and help them. And I love that you kind of pushed selling to the side and discussed that approach, because it makes such a big difference. And especially for women, it's so much easier for us to talk about what we do that way and even talk about our business or have these types of conversations with prospective clients when you just ignore that whole mindset around selling. It's not about selling. It's about saying, hey, you know what? I really get you, and I'm sorry you're facing this challenge, and I have been successful in overcoming that, and I'd really love to share that with you. Would you like to know, you know, what worked for me? That's the place that you're coming from when you're having that type of conversation.
That's right. That's right. You know, really asking them what they want and then delivering it to them.
Right, exactly. And I love that you honed in on the fact of really, really listening. Sometimes it's easy to listen and be thinking about, you know, how you're going to respond or you know, whatever you may be thinking about. But just listening and hearing the person and really just taking in their feelings and their thoughts, it's so important that you do that with prospective clients and just really show that personal interest in them. It's so, so important.
And you know what, Sydney, I really hope that for your listeners today that that takes some of the pressure off because, you know, you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, the marketing jargon, the elevator pitch, that type of thing, that there's this feeling out there that we have to be on all the time and that we have to present ourselves in a certain way. And yes, your personal brand is important, but it's also really important to, as you said, to listen and to care and to ask questions. And I do think that that takes a little bit of the pressure off of you feeling like you're on stage and having to sell your potential clients.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you because that can be very, you know, nerve-wracking if you feel like, oh, I don't want to mess up my conversation because then they're not going to hire me. We don't want you to have your conversations from that place. We want you to just enjoy the opportunity to get to meet new folks, and to the extent that you can help support them in their life or their business, then by all means reach out and do that. So I totally agree with you. Hopefully that will make thinking about marketing and having conversations with prospective clients a little less nerve-wracking.
Yes.
So once now that we know, you know, that's the tone that we want to use and that's the place we want to come from, what are the exact steps that one of our service professionals should take in order to develop their compelling message so that they can get that out into the world?
Sure. Well, we've covered a couple of them. You know, once you know what your brand attributes are, for example, if one of your brand attributes is inspiring or inspirational, you know, you might use that word in your compelling message. Or in a brand statement, meaning, you know, when you're talking to someone, you might choose to use one of your brand attributes. So if inspire is one of them, you might say something like, I inspire women to get smart about their finances and live debt-free for life. If one of your brand attributes is intelligent or smart, or even for you, Sydney, if one of your brand attributes were smart, having that in your company name, as in Smart Simple Marketing, is fabulous. You don't have to necessarily have a brand attribute in your company name, but it's possible, and you can do it. So it's one piece to look at. So first, you want to look at your brand attributes. Second is looking at your target market, identifying that target market, knowing exactly who they are, you know, and using that assessment that Sydney has sent out, identifying your target market's pain. So what's keeping them up at night? What's the one thing that if they could change in their life right now, what would it be? You want to understand what that is. And then you want to make a list, and I have clients do this all the time, make a list of 30 ways, a minimum of 30. If you want to do 50, you can do 50. But make a list of 30 ways that you add value to your clients. It needs to be benefits and results, not features.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might be if you're an acupuncturist and you specialize in women's fertility, you know, you might say something like, you know, the women that I've worked with over the last 6 months all show signs of increased energy and vitality. 12 of my clients this year alone got pregnant, you know, within 6 months of working together, something like that. So you want to talk about the results and the benefits that clients get from working with you. You want to listen to your clients, learn from them, what are they asking for, and then basically connect the value that you provide to the pain or the problems or the challenges that they're experiencing. So speak to your potential client's pain and explain why you are the solution using those value statements that you wrote down. So just to recap, identifying your target market, right, knowing exactly who they are, knowing what their pain is, their most pressing problem, then creating a list of ways that you provide value, the reason that you are the solution to your clients' problems, the results that they achieve from working with you, then take some of those statements and turn them into a message that you might be able to convey to a potential client when you're speaking with them. Always include your value.
Now, I'd love for you, Liz, and you mentioned it a few times today, and just so we're really clear, you talked about talking about benefits versus features. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a place where folks get stuck sometimes. They're not really sure what the difference is.
Right.
Can you clarify that so as they go through these steps that you've mentioned, they know exactly what that means?
Yes, absolutely. And so we have service professionals on the call. So a feature is basically something like when you work with me, all of our sessions will be at least 60 minutes. That's a feature. That's not really a result or a benefit to the client necessarily. You know, a benefit to the client might be something like when we work together, or the last three clients that I've worked with have all increased their income by 30%. That's a result. That's a benefit of those clients having worked with you.
Mm-hmm.
Another feature might be, you know, a lot of people like to talk about their credibility, where they came from, where they went to school, their designations, their licensing. Those are all features. And truthfully, most of the time, yes, it's good to have social proof. Obviously, we all want to have a certain level of credibility as we make our way to authorities in our industries. But the truth is, I go back to the fact that at the end of the day, your coaching designation, your industry license, that is not what is going to win the client.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the client wants to know what's in it for them and what they're going to actually get out of working with you, and it really isn't your designation, your certification, et cetera.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you explaining that. And this is really important to keep in mind, too, when you're creating your marketing materials, like when you're writing the copy for your website or setting up your social media profiles or even out speaking, that you really want to tailor the language to the person who's hearing it. So, for instance, you don't want your website to be all about you, as Liz just mentioned, where you went to school and what different certifications you have or awards you've won. And there's certainly a place for that. And we're definitely not saying to ignore that and leave that out. But you really want the tone and the major theme of the marketing materials to be about the person who's reading them, to show them that you understand them, that you get where they're at, and that you have the solution to the problem or the challenge they're facing. So this all fits together in terms of how you create your compelling message and then in turn your marketing materials.
You know, Sydney, I have a client who did something really brilliant on her website, which I just love, and she is getting such tremendous response from it. But basically, on her About Me or her bio page, she has a letter to her potential clients that's fun and it's very vibrant and enthusiastic, and it talks a lot about, you know, her passion and the results that she has achieved with other clients. But at the very top, there's a line that basically says, if you would like to see my pretty and professional bio, click here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can click there, and there's a very sort of, you know, professional resume style. This is where I went to school. This is where I got credentialed. I've been working for 20-plus years, blah, blah, blah. You can get that, and I'm sure that some people look at it. But her letter is so compelling and so enticing, you really fall in love with her just from reading that. And I would guess that most people don't even bother to click on the professional bio.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't care.
They don't care.
We all make decisions about these things. We don't even really make them based on money. We make them based on how the person makes us feel and that we think that this person can really help us. And if you're able to articulate that and convey that in your marketing materials, you'll have a never-ending stream of clients. So it doesn't matter what your rates are. It doesn't matter where you went to school. If you can really create a strong connection with the people who land in your network or land on your website, then you'll be able to engage them, and they'll want to become clients of yours. They'll self-select into, you know, whatever option fits them best. So it really is very powerful and can make your marketing and just running your business so much easier.
That's right.
So what are some of the mistakes, Liz, that you can help us to avoid and when it comes to branding and marketing? You and I see a lot of mistakes being made, and of course, the coaches that we are, we love to help our clients avoid mistakes at all costs. So what kind of pitfalls can you help our audience to avoid?
You know, I think one of the most important things to avoid is copying others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is quite rampant, I think, particularly among women, but we're not the only ones. You know, I just think it's not having enough confidence, particularly in the beginning of building a business, you know, in our own uniqueness and our own message. And the reality is that we are unique, and no one can do something exactly the way that we do it. And Sydney, you and I are such perfect examples of this. You know, we teach very similar things. We're so synergistic in our beliefs, but we're very different people. And you know, the way that you coach and work with your clients is absolutely going to be different than we might teach some of the same things, but we will coach differently, we will work differently. And I think it's really, really important to remember that, you know, there is uniqueness to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think another issue that I see is people constantly changing their visual branding.
Mm-hmm.
So constantly changing a logo or their brand colors or flip-flopping back and forth, listening to everybody out there, everyone else's opinions, when they're not really firm yet in their own foundation of who they are and what they stand for. And to me, that's a big red flag that it's time to do some branding work,
mm-hmm.
get really clear and have some trust in ourselves to move forward and not get swayed by every wind that comes along, because that actually can be quite damaging to a brand when it's constantly changing every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that leads into not being consistent. So, you know, the website looks different, is different colors, has different messaging than business cards or collateral materials or direct mail, you know, or even physically, you know, you might look very sleek, sophisticated, dressing very minimally, and your business cards look very bohemian and flowery, and potential clients can't make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a disconnect there. And then I also think probably one of the biggest mistakes that people make with their branding is not taking into account that they themselves are their brand, that everything, you know, it's not, again, we go back to the very beginning of this call, it's not just your logo, it's not just your website, it's not just your marketing materials, it's what you wear, it's where you spend your time, it's who you spend your time with, it's how you treat other people, it's your handshake, it's your table manners, it's what your office looks like, it's what your home looks like. Everything is incorporated into your personal brand, and I think that so many people overlook this. You know, your brand really reflects who you are in everything you do, what you care about, how you live, how you treat others. And I think that's probably one of the most important things to remember.
Yeah, I love everything you said. And to piggyback on that, for one, I really appreciate what you mentioned about, you know, even you and I and our relationship. To a lot of people, we could view each other as competitors, right? And we certainly don't do that. And I love, you know, your expertise and the way you approach your marketing. And I trust that you have feelings of admiration for the work that I do, too. So
yes.
Be really open to not looking at others in your industry as competitors. You know, look at ways that look at what they're doing right and appreciate that if there's opportunities to collaborate. But don't allow yourself to go to a place of, oh, you know, she's a competitor of mine and I don't want to, you know, talk to her and I don't want to let her know what's going on in my business. And you don't want to have that kind of energy around your business because you miss out on wonderful opportunities to get support from the very people who can understand your business the most. So I love that you said that. I also love that you talked about what your marketing materials look like. You can imagine, you know, if you meet someone at a networking event and you, you know, at, by the end of the evening, you've collected a number of business cards. So the person, you go home and you look at the cards the next day. So the person's card that you have in your hand is speaking to you in their absence. That person's website is speaking to you in their absence. So the flip on the flip side for your marketing materials, what are your materials saying about you when you're not there? You know, did they meet this sleek, sophisticated woman who obviously has credibility and is an expert, but then they go to your website and it looks hokey and homemade and sloppy and not well put together? So you want to make sure that your marketing materials are supporting everything that you do and making sure that they're saying what you want your clients to hear when, you know, when you're not even there. And then the last thing, you know, in terms of congruency, and just to piggyback on what you said, it's really important, too, that you make the financial and the time and the energy investment in your business. Because as a service professional, you are inviting an individual to engage your services so you can support them. You want them to invest in you so that you can help them. So if you want other people to invest in your business, you first have to invest in your business, and you need to be willing to do what's necessary to create quality marketing materials and, you know, network in the right places and make sure that your brand is reflecting the high quality of services of what you do. So it's not reasonable to expect other folks to invest in us if we're not willing to invest in ourselves.
Absolutely.
Now, our last question, Liz, and then we'll open it up for a few questions from our audience. What last suggestions do you have for folks who are listening so that they can create a really rich brand experience for their audience?
Well, I think looking at what we were just talking about, all the different areas that really incorporate who you are as a brand. So thinking of the different mediums in which your personal brand is expressed, so your physical appearance, you know, what clothes are you wearing, what does your hair look like, down to the shoes that you're wearing and your handbags. And, you know, you and I, Sydney, are not particularly superficial people, but we both know that people make decisions about people in less than a second in terms of first impressions. So your physical appearance is an important part of your brand. Your office environment, when you have people come into your office and, you know, you're that business owner whose brand attributes are calm, zen, and composed, is your office neat and organized? Do you have classical music playing softly in the background? Do you have, you know, a beautiful lavender candle burning? So, again, things that really speak to who you are that you can share with your clients. Your website, you just mentioned, going to your website is a representation of you and your brand when you are not physically present. So is it a good representation of who you are? Your collateral materials, your business cards, all of those things are really important in terms of creating that rich brand experience for your clients. You know, when you send cards out, if you do, for birthdays or thank you cards, if you send a holiday gift or a birthday gift, does it represent your brand? Do you use tissue paper that has your brand colors? Do you have a symbol that's really important to you? For example, mine has always been a butterfly. I have a number of symbols, but the butterfly is the most important one to me. It's when I started my business over a decade ago. It really represented transformation, personal transformation. And so I have butterflies on everything that I send out. You know, my She Brand colors are purple and pink, and so we use purple and pink tissue paper when we send out gifts. What books are you currently reading that you feel resonate with your message or that you feel your clients would benefit from reading? Maybe sending out that book to your clients would be beneficial. So starting to think about things that resonate with you, represent you, speak to you and your brand, you want to be able to share that with your clients.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you so much for those great suggestions. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So let's see if any of our listeners have any personal questions for you, Liz, about how to apply this information to their own business. If you would like to ask Liz or myself a question, we welcome the opportunity to chat with you for a few moments. You can simply press 5-star, so that's 5-star on your handset, we will take you in order of first come, first serve, and would love to find out your thoughts on our presentation today and certainly answer any questions you have. So again, that's 5-star on your handset. Okay, great. We have our first question here. Good morning. This is Sydney. Who do we have on the line today?
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's your name,
Mel? Okay. Giselle Olmo, and I'm an interior designer.
Hi, Giselle. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, if you're new in the industry and you're still almost like a beginner, your business is quite young, and you're still not really sure what you would, you know, as a new designer, and you're trying to figure out what your assets or what you could give to a client or what you could represent, and you don't have enough history behind you or knowledge of what it is you're just developing, how do you go about that? Recognizing what your values are, what you could give, the benefits, the results.
Giselle, I think the first place to start is, you know, back at the beginning with your brand attributes, what we were talking about earlier in the call. I think it would be a great idea for you to sit down and take a little bit of time to think about ways in which you would currently describe yourself, you know, to come up with maybe 5 to 10 different adjectives. And then I would highly recommend that you go out to friends, family, coworkers, if you have a few clients that you're working with or have worked with in the last year, ask them as well, you know, at least 20 people, and ask them how they perceive you. I think that's a really, really good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really sounds to me like it would be a great time for some personal introspection in terms of, you know, what do I want to represent? How do I want to be perceived? What value do I want to provide to my potential clients? And start doing some writing around that.
Okay.
And then fill out the target market assessment that Sydney
mm-hmm.
sent you a link to. I believe it's 3 pages. Is that right, Sydney?
Yes, it is.
3 pages. It's relatively extensive, and I do think that will start to give you a picture of not just who you are and the work that you want to do, but also who you want to work with. And then lastly, I invite you to create a vision board of what you want your life and your business to look like. So maybe start going through some magazines, ripping out some photographs. If there's some quotes that you love, when you come up with your brand attributes, put them up on your vision board. And I invite you to look at that every single day, multiple times a day, you know, even if you just spend 2 or 3 minutes in the morning envisioning that. I do think that you are going to start getting a much clearer picture of
mm-hmm.
who you want to work with and the value that you are providing to your clients.
Okay, I understand. It's almost like a guide. You're starting to put a collage together of what's going to make up what you want to represent.
That's right. That's exactly
okay.
right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for the great question, Giselle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who else would like to ask Liz or I a question? If you would like to speak with either of us or just share your thoughts on the call today, please press 5-star on your handset, and we'll be happy to open up the line for you. Okay, I'll leave a minute or so to see if any thoughts come to mind. But, Liz, if our listeners would like to learn more about you or the products and services that you offer on this topic, how can they reach you?
Sure. They can go to my website, which is just shebrand.com. It's S-H-E-B-R-A-N-D, shebrand.com.
Okay.
And if they want to learn more about our Build Your Buzz Online Boot Camp, that's just at buildyourbuzzonline.com.
And I'll send a link to both of those with the recording. So if you didn't quite catch that, don't worry. But I'll get that link over to you this afternoon. So thank you for that. We do have one more question I see. Good afternoon. Who's with us today?
Hi. This is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
And I tried to access the link, and all I got was a series of folders with XML documents in them.
Ah, okay. The link for the assessment, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for telling me that. I'll when I send out the recording, I'll make sure to send the link again. It worked for me, but, you know, internet technology is funny like that sometimes. So thank you so much.
But thank you very much, both of you.
You're welcome. Did
you
have any questions for us?
No, I just wanted to comment on that.
Okay. Thank you so much. Well, again, Liz, I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to present to our audience today. I think this was a really power-packed session, and you shared so many great points, which I know they can implement and start seeing better results with their marketing. So thank you for your generous knowledge and for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Sydney. It's been such a pleasure, as always.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Again, this is Sydney Craighart from Smart Simple Marketing and smartsimplemarketing.com. This is the October free call, and we'll be sending out details on the November call shortly. So continue to stay connected to me through my blog and the website and social media so you can stay abreast of those opportunities to connect with me and to learn more insights and smart, simple marketing strategies that you can implement in your own business to create the success that you desire and deserve. It's been great having you on the line with me today, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.